Gemara says Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron, the brothers, program through Moshe. Even Moshe and Aaron. The Gemara says, okay. Even Moshe and Aaron brothers. Yes, it sounds like it's going to be Zeret HaMelech. Zeret HaMelech, not that we think they're lying. Zeret HaMelech. So we were talking yesterday about this Chakira of why is it generally mutually? Why can't you have one age? The Sita Chakira called Mitzvah number 523. This Mitzvah, the Chavera, is Lav. You cannot blow your mouth up to the age of God. You can't pass the base of one age. So the Gemara says the fact that Krogma possible is a Zeret HaMelech. So except that as an indication, that in general the fact that you ever need two of them, that's also Zeret HaMelech. That's what is right. It's not 100% watertight raya. There definitely are distinctions you could make. You could say that the fact that that you need to have two of them in the first place, that the basic fact of needing two of them, that's a svara, because it's the added verification. It's a corroborative effect, if you will. The fact that the two of them are corroborating each other. To the Nemelis. You could say, look, that's a Svara, like the Sefer Chenech says. The fact that two Krogim are possible, that's a rule. You could have said that. Okay. I need to have two agents. Really, Moshe and Aaron also add Nemelis, but there's a rule, happens to be a rule, that Kar are possible agents, even out of the realm of Shnezer, even if he's Kar to me. Kar to one of the parties, don't they? The rule, you could have made an argument, but it still says, look, you get a little bit of a feeling. You get a feeling that you're saying that's a Zeret HaMelech. You're saying the fact that these two guys are upset if they're Moshe Yaron, if they're brothers, then you get the fact that the whole thing might be built on Zeret HaMelech. This is what to discuss in terms of that. Okay. That's,
We have to have the Rabbanah always for a reason, right?
You don't make a reason for why. Let's clarify this for Hakira. Everyone could agree that the basic rationale, the Torah says you have to have two eggs, right? Everyone agrees to that. No chakira by that. That's the person who's going to have two eggs. And it could be everyone agrees also, obviously, that the basic idea is a two eggs, and you're going to believe there are more than one. Okay, it's somewhat more believable than one. Everyone could agree to that. That might be just like almost like a mathematical fact. The question is just, well, that's true. It's a correct observation. That two Aizen will often be more believable than this one. Presumably something is added by having a second guy. So that's true. The question is that one halacha is the way it is? Is it that we're really interested in the added verification of two? And that one, let's just put it differently. And that in other words, when you have one aid, what's wrong? Is it because he's not believable enough? Because he's chashur l'shaker? I'm concerned that he's a liar. Or according to the Nesivos, he's Rechashu, he's the same Bidadami, that he may not lie, Bidavka, but he may have misunderstood the case, might not understand what was going on. He misunderstood it completely what he saw. But is it because if you have one guy, we're concerned that he's not telling the truth? No, it's a rule. The background for the rule might be more believable, but what's the actual, is the concern for Shekel after Parv Halacha? Like we were saying yesterday, every Mitzvah Torah might have a time of the Krah. Every Mitzvah Torah might have a rationale for why it's true, but it doesn't mean that the Mitzvah only applies when the reason applies. Right? That's what we want to know. Is this Mamash part of the Halacha? This concern for Shaker? That's Mamash the Din? It says, well, what aid is Kosher or Shaker? Or no? What aid is possible? Why? Because the Torah says so. Why? The Torah says so. It may have something to do with Shaker, but that's not part of what the Torah says. Is it just the why behind what the Torah said? Is actually part of what the Torah says?
Where do you find such a reason at all, where you have, where part of the din is the town?
That's where Lama's
going. I'll give you an example. Mezuzah. The sleeve didn't sign. Let's be more cheerful. Mezuzah. Right. So mezuzah. So what's the idea behind mezuzah? The mezuzah, normally the Gemara says the mezuzah has to be in the top third of the door. The roof has to be in the top third of the door. The chatzilah, according to Meir Shomer, should be near the bottom of the top third.
So that's why, let's say, you take a look at the mezuzah here.
Oh, so this is pocket right here. If this mezuzah, you look at it, you see?
The fire looks low. Does that look like a low mezuzah?
Yeah.
But it looks pretty low. It looks like someone didn't know what he was doing.
Oh,
as a matter of fact, it looks almost like it's halfway down. But that's just because your eyes are playing tricks on you. If you measure, this is probably 81 inches from floor to ceiling, I would guess. So from a third is 27 inches, and this is probably the bottom of the top third. It doesn't look like it, but when you experiment with it many times, you will discover that when you actually use a tape measure and measure, it ends up looking like it's halfway down. It's really two-thirds way up. Okay. Good. That's the rule. It has to be the top third, and perhaps the chassidim near the bottom top third. If you don't put it here, it's no good. That's the rule. The Gemara says, absolutely possible. If it's not in the shlish, not in the top third. Okay. Let's see what happens. Okay. Let's see what happens. Now, there's a discussion whether we should pass like the following Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, that's very nice if you have a doorway which is 6.5 feet, 7.5 feet high. Okay. Instead of doing in modern American architecture, I think it's 81 inches, residential setting, 6 feet, 9 inches, which would fit most people that we know. Okay. So how about if you have this, in Beit HaMikdash, so the typical door in Beit HaMikdash is 20 amas tall. 20 amas. 20 amas, say 50 feet. That's like almost as tall as that door. Mind you, that was a typical doorway height as opposed to the Ula, which was double that. Imagine how awe-inspiring the architecture. Imagine you have a doorway that's like yay high, right? Coming up to the fourth and fifth window. So where do you put the mezuzah exactly? Top third?
How big is the mezuzah?
Right?
So
you have a 45 foot high door. So you say it has to be more than 30 feet off the ground?
How big is the mezuzah?
Good point. It's very nice to be top slish, but I'm definitely not going to notice it. So the Rishalmi says that that's a good point here, it's very, very tight, even out of 20 amas, good point. Even if it's up to 20 amas, the Rishalmi says if it's a very tall doorway, they really just supposed to be Kineged Ksefi Yosef. That's the Lashon Rishalmi, Kineged Ksefi Yosef, a shoulder height. You'll notice that a typical doorway, a normal size doorway, that fits normal size people, at least that's me. So on a normal size doorway, you measure two-thirds and it's shoulder height. I guess the basketball players in the shear, it might be a little below shoulder height, but it's roughly in the shoulder zone. So the Yerushalmi said, if there's air until Doreh, so then forget about the din of Shoshalyam. It just connects to the Yosef. Why? The rule of Shoshalyam. So well, let's look at what the Yerushalmi. The Sama, the Shaila is. I think it's assumed that it is. I'm not sure what the derivation is, but you get the impression that it is. This seems like the shayla is, is it just the mezuzah is mezuzah? The background is like Yossi says, to remind you, but it might have nothing to do with how this mitzvah works. Or no, it's not a part of the mitzvah. That it's not just to put up on your bias. And the reason why is because it will remind you of Yitzchak Hashem. No! The mitzvah is to put up on your bias in a way that will remind you of Yitzchak Hashem. There are two ways to say it. You can just say there's a mitzvah, flat, sterile, and then it happens to be there's a separate philosophy of the mitzvah that's not part of what your obligation is. Or is it no? It's part of the definition that's not just the why, it's the what. What are you going to do? You're going to do the mitzvah in a way that will remind you. So there are two ways. That's always the tricky thing about all this. You have to figure out when are you saying some lumbus, and then do you say what the halacha requires of you? And when is it just time to cross? Just what? But not part of there's a nice idea, and it's important, it's of Kama Torah, it's meaningful, it's spiritual, but it's not going to impact how you keep the mitzvah. It's not going to impact the application of the mitzvah. So that's exactly what you're saying, well, that's exactly this issue here. Is, of course, everyone agreed about the idea of Shehadim, and do you believe in more? The question is, but that what makes this din tick? Is that halacha lamaisa, do you have one aid, is chashash sheker? Or no, if you have one aid, he's still not one. But, there's a rule, you have two bodies. That's the rule. Is it just the rule, or is it with so who cares? Who cares? Let's talk about two. The one afternoon we had yesterday, there's old afternoons and new afternoons. One opportunity we have yesterday is acoustic hitting, right? It's the original starting game. Our whole Gemara. Right? You have the two witnesses, so one of them is acoustic. I don't know whether he's kosher or not. The only reason I can trust him is because of the other eight sages. Right? That's the Tosfos Rashi pointed out. Isn't that strange? But everything is hinged on this one guy, but you don't have the believability of two. The Tosfos Rashi said, well, one answer to that problem is to say, it doesn't matter. Well, it might be you had your two bodies. If you would say, you need two, you need to have the added believability of two, and one is chashul shakar, so then you can't get off the ground here. But the might be you are, in essence, relying on the dead monos of one. That's unacceptable. Does the Torah say that monos of one is unacceptable? If one is a shakar, or no, it's a Torah. Maybe it's just, there's a rule, you've got to have two guys. You have two guys. So this is one afternoon where you have to aid him, but one is really dependent on the other. That's one afternoon. We'll give you another quick one. Before we jump into the Gemara of Vazda, I know I've got to spend time on it, we'll give you another quick one. Two quick ones. The Irevina is a paper written more than 100 years ago by Yitzchak Orbach. I don't know if he's related. I don't know if he's a grandfather of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. No. You want to say part of Chesed Mishpat? So he says, he tells us the following thing. This is good. Let's say two agents had each other, okay? Two agents say that I borrowed $1,000 from the young one. Okay. So they didn't have the right to act upon it, they will make me pay $1,000. So how about, it's not a Beis Din. Two agents came and told me that, they blocked off Fifth Avenue today starting at 8:30 in the morning. I wasn't there. I don't know about that highway. The two came and told me that 8:30 they're ready to start blocking off the highway. Half hour advance of schedule. Check. Okay. Okay. Can I swear that they closed up the highway as they closed up the Fifth Avenue at 8:30?
No. No.
No, not in Beis. Not in Beis. Ah, I see. Yeah. Not down to the Beis. I want to take a Shavuot. That's what's right. It's a pure, it's a matter. Acknowledge we're false people. All these sort of things you know are true.
But don't
go either way. So how does it work? I would take a Shavuot. Is that okay for me to take a Shavuot based on what two agents told me?
Not a good idea.
Do I have the right to swear based on what two agents told me?
Never a good idea. Yeah. No.
Well, no. Well, you could say, now one second. Right. These well, Basin has the right to act upon it, but I can't believe it. What does that mean? So the intervening says like this. The Zikra Achinus approach that when the Torah wants that two agents, no, that's believable enough. That's true. But one agent, that's not true. Okay, so that's the one. One agent is not believable enough. Two agents, why not believe two agents? It makes sense to believe two agents. The other approach, though, is that of the Tosfos Rosh Rambam. I've never really. It could be even one agent is believable. It could be two agents are not so believable. There's a rule you need to have two agents. And the Rambam said that Rambam we saw is even two agents. The flip side of saying that not a chashah sheker. One agent already made the Torah believable. And even two, it's not necessarily that now it's so much more believable and now it's sufficient. Now that's absolute truth. No, that's what I told Rambam yesterday. Right? He says there's a rule. You don't know for sure nobody's telling the truth, but if you fit the requirements of Chumash. The Chumash says believe it. Act on it. So the Chumash says, Basin has to operate. We operate based on two agents. So this is Iravina, then this is a stretch. It's possible, conceivable, that you could say, look, I don't know for sure. It's not a question of true or false. I mean, it's truer, but it's not that now, oh, two agents was for sure true. One agent wasn't believable. Now this guy, now, no. It's always been a rule. You have two agents, you have to write that. But is it absolute truth? Not gospel. So can I swear to it? He said, it may be a rule in Basin procedure that Basin has the right to pass in Shilas. You can be mostly mamon based on two agents. You can punish based on two agents. But is it? Do I know it's absolute truth? I don't know if it's absolute truth.
When you kill from it, it's not just the two mamon. You kill from it based on one, two agents. You say, if it's not absolute truth, so I can kill upon it.
That's a good question. I'll ask you a better question.
Then we know anything is true.
That's why some people are against it. That's why some people are against it.
And this is sounding really, really, really pretentious. How do we know anything?
And that's why people are against it.
That's why I won't know.
Because they're not sure, because you might not be sure you're telling the right person.
Ah, so see, there's a fascinating Rambam.
But that's the upside of
it. There's a fascinating Rambam.
That's the upside of being religious.
This is a fascinating Rambam. The fascinating Rambam says like this. And he knows upside of it. I don't know if that was upside of it. He says the following. He says like this. He says, like this, move your way. He starts Parashat Chavzal, he says, okay, so how is the dying going to pass in a child? He says, really, if you know what the facts are, go for it. If you're convinced, watch this. He says, Ram says like this, Parashat Chavzal, he says, look it up. You don't have to believe, I didn't believe myself when I first read it. He says like this. He says, based on the Gemara of Tzuvos, but his interpretation of the Gemara of Tzuvos. He says, you and I were trained to believe that you aren't passing a shiloh with two kosher witnesses, right? Well, he says, well, yes and no. Rambam says you have to work on a bunch of gemaras. So Rambam says like this. He goes on limb. He says, an eved shows up to court. But you know this eved personally. You know him well. You're certain that he's not lying. Go ahead. So not for mitzvah, but for mamon. Go.
Not,
no? Because if you know the fact yourself, or it's the second best five senses of knowledge, actually knowing things yourself, is you know this guy. One eight shows up. But you know, not Stamane shows up, he's a kosher witness in the summer. No. You know this guy personally, and you know him well. You've known him for years, And you look at his eyes, you know he's telling the truth, you know he's not outside, I'm certain he's telling the truth. So I'm saying, go ahead. You mostly moan. Go ahead.
Why can't you kill?
Boom.
Why not?
Yeah. That might be something that has to be worked out. But that was clear that for Misa you wouldn't do it.
Okay.
He says, but He says, I went into Asian form. He says, that's like the last one I was out. Oh, I said, oh, it's like an afterthought. Oh, what are you doing before? Oh, well, if you're not sure, then I gotta tell the truth. This is like a rule. Okay, the second best, this is a rule that you listen to two Asians. But the best is you honest know. There's no, and knowing has nothing to do with rules. It is knowing is either you know yourself, or I know Mr. Affel here, I know he's telling the truth. I know Mr. Bookbinder, I know he's telling the truth. I know Mr. Tom, I know he's telling the truth. Now, I might not know. You don't only judge a case based on people you know well, but the guy happens to know that this A well, he knows he's telling the truth, it's the best, sounds like an album. Not a snow. The second best is, you know, okay, I don't know for sure, but these two guys show up, they seem like reliable people, I don't know them so well. I know a little bit or not at all, whatever, but they seem like reliable, upstanding, honest, religious people. And they said, look, and they follow the rules of ages. That's like, that fits with what the Rabbin said in his Sunday Torah. The ages, that's like a serious custom. There are rules in the ages. Are you convinced, sisters? No. So on the one hand, on the other hand, right? So we're in our Gemara, where this is the rule, that even if you don't have the Neimanism to, but you have to, even because you saw it's not supposed to be, it goes up, that was not giving you number one. And I'm giving number two again, the flip side, is in Medina, and there you cannot swear based on what two random witnesses tell you. To take the Rambam step further, one second, if my good friend Eli Rappaport tells me this is the way it was, and I really trust him and believe him, I know the truth, maybe I could swear then. But if just two people come out of the blue, I've never met them before, but you know, they fit the rule, seem to be honest, reliable people, then it would be a suggest, perhaps, but well, maybe I couldn't swear. Ages is not a certitude. But I think he's that's a good point, right? And all the whole chop of two agents is only because they're in the ambiance and the context and the experience of agents. But I think he's saying even in Basin.
You can't retract, right? So they can't retract.
Okay, right. But I think he's saying even in Basin. So let's make it more serious. You went to Basin. And you went to the class trip to Basin once. Let's see how it works. And you heard the agent said, you know, they were talking about a murder that they witnessed, and they mentioned there's a maple tree in front of that house. But I came up both ways. So now you want to swear there's a maple tree in front of the house, because they both said it. They're both made in the agent. Or you want to swear that the guy killed that he's a murderer. Why? Because you heard that the agent said so. So the interviewer says, I don't know. Could you? Right, because if you really take the Rambam seriously, you may or may not arrive at the conclusion that look, it's a rule of jurisprudence that the Basin system has to work. The Torah says you have the right to daven in this situation. So you think that the according to Rambam, to an extent, even Ages is not a halacha, even Ages is not a full beer. That's what Rambam is saying. There's a rule that you listen to Ages. It's obviously more beer than a halacha. But still not, perhaps not full of,
There's a difference between an edus which you can act upon and what we know to be true. Like, we don't know whether the edim are true, but by the fact that they brought that, we can act on it. But there's a difference. Like, even in, I'm trying to think of, I can't make sense here, but there could be a difference between a statement which you could act upon and a statement which you could swear.
Good, very good, very good, very good. That's what the Achor referred to as a favor or beer of the Marjivish versus the Hanhaga. Am I determining a fact or just telling you how to act? Let me give you a great example. We talk about Chazaka. Right? Chazaka is a Nekar. So let's say, let me give you a colorful example. Comes up occasionally if you're messy. You leave home for the weekend. Go away for a couple of days. You leave home Thursday night. If you come back Sunday afternoon. Come back Sunday afternoon and you notice that someone may want to make a glass of chocolate milk on the way out before he left the house. So one of the kids or adults, as the case may be, made a cup of chocolate milk, threw the milk back into the refrigerator and slammed the door closed, and didn't bother to make sure that the milk was standing upright. Guess what? It was. come back Sunday afternoon, drip. There's a puddle of milk it's slowly been dripping, making its way through the refrigerator, and it made its way all the way down to the bottom, and now you have a piece of raw meat, which was sitting on the bottom, and now part of it is sitting in milk. And you can drip on the meat. Okay, what do you do? Now, nothing hot, not cooking, so the rule is, even without heat, you could say, look, just wash it off, get rid of the milk, shine. But there's a rule of kavush. If a piece of meat sits in milk for more than 24 hours,
it marinated.
Exactly. If it sits on something for more than 24 hours, then it's not just a question of washing off the residue, it's actually to the zola was cooking. Mamashev, it absorbs the flavor.
You cut off the part.
Like Akiva said, that's the idea of the marrow. Right? The marrow, after which you soak the liquid long enough, you actually absorb the flavor. So out of how long was it, 20 more than 24 hours? What's it, 24 hours? I don't know, it took time for the milk to make its way down. So right now, it says, milk. When I left the house 70 hours ago, it's not milk. So the din presumably probably is, I'll spare you the detail, the din probably is, say, look, it has a cheskas kosher. Right, when I left 70 hours ago, the meat was kosher. It may or may not have been sitting for 24 hours in the milk. I don't know how long it was in the milk. So I can say, follow chazaka, just wash it off, and you can assume it did not absorb the flavor. If I knew it was in the milk for 24 hours, the whole thing is going to the garbage, or chunks is going to go in the garbage. But if you know the kosher, now you're not sure if it became kosher or not, follow chazaka, just wash it off, and you're fine. No, I know the milk was dripping for 70 hours. I don't know how long it took the milk to make its way down and out to me. Now, one second. So the meat is kosher. You're going to eat that meat. Enjoy your steak. Can you swear that the meat was in the milk for less than 24 hours? No, you don't know. The rule is, in a case of a sausage, you have the right to act the way you used to. If you treat the meat kosher, the rule is hanhaga. This is a way of behaving. You don't know whether it's kosher or trade. You have the right to assume it's kosher. Sometimes you'll have to assume it's trade. Or if you say something to rice with a chumra, can you swear that it's osmer? If you say something to a bottle of kula, can you swear it's really mutter? No. You have the right to treat it as mutter as osmer. If you don't really know what the facts are, it's really still an unresolved topic. You just have a practice. How do you practice in the case of topic? So that's what I think Akiva is saying. That's in between hadahaga, just a way of acting, versus biru, where actually know what the facts are. So what the Rebbe's point is, according to Rambam, even Eitz you should think of as a beer, there's a certain element, obviously they're telling you the facts, not like Chazaka, which obviously relates to the real facts, but still to a certain extent, even Eitz, which is usually the gold standard, is also an element of Hanhaga. It's not, I don't really know what the facts are for sure, the Torah said, listen to this, please. Okay, now thing number one is our case here with the Kuzi. That you can rely on the two, you consider two witnesses even though one depends on the other. Yes, nafkina number two is the case of swearing based on two witnesses. Nafkina number three, you already discussed, I don't know nafkina, but how do you understand the fact that Moshe and Aaron are two? Does that indicate that really all of Ages is just a deris hakasher? It doesn't have to do with believability. Yeah.
That's true. Number one, the Chinuch and Rambam are actually at odds here, because the Chinuch is the one who's putting forth the natural theory of Adam. One is not believable enough, and two are believable enough. The Rambam is the one who's putting forth from the other books. But you're right, it is a good point. Everyone's going to agree that people do sometimes change. But it's true, sometimes you get surprises from people that you thought you knew well. That's true. Sometimes, hopefully, happy surprises. Sometimes, not such happy surprises. But you can still be pretty certain that you know this guy, and you're looking in the eye, and you know that he's telling the truth. Right, you're right. Do I ever know, as Akiva, as our resident philosopher, pointed out, going a whole stream of many philosophers, you might not ever be able to know anything for sure. I don't want to get involved in a question of Plato or Aristotle, whether whether a five sense of knowledge is king or not. But yeah, there's always going to be a limit. I can never know. Do you for sure know the sunny outside? And do I for sure know that I'm giving shear? Maybe I'm dreaming. Dream like giving shear too? I don't know. But it has to come forward to which you say it's sufficient for a degree of truth. Okay. Let's, the question before is, well, I want to talk about one last, final major nachmina. I think one of those last couple times down. So before I do that, just questions and while we pull it over. Are you clear? Clear as mud? Clear as mud? That's not too good. Huh? Okay, let's take a look at this Gemara. How many guys had a chance to look at the Gemara in Bava Basra? Oh, pretty good. Wow. Pretty good, two fronts. Excellent. Good. Let's take a look together at one critical part. The Gemara says like this. Imagine that you like to recycle. You have a chauffeur, he likes to recycle. So he had a star, now it's used up. Oh, he made a mistake. Now, we'll wipe you out of this piece of parchment, this piece of paper, we'll just erase everything and start again. The first thing the Gemara says, that's fine. If you have a piece of paper, it's erased from top to bottom, you can write the star on top, star on the bottom, no problem. Alright, how do you believe it? Maybe they're going to play games and erase some more. No, the Gemara says, if you get, part was erased twice, if part was erased only once, you can tell the difference. And at least that was the assumption on the paper or the parchment they were using. You can tell the difference. You look at it. It looks like everything was erased evenly and equally, so you know that the A's been signed on the star that you see in front of you. It's everything was different. How about that? I have to give my thumbs up the following case. Again, how about I have a star and I'm going to write my whole star out, all the line to Shani Shabbos, what's the best today, Eric Stuff came, and he lent money to the Yabbos, and so on and so forth then, and they decided it was $10,000. And that they decide to give payment to be due in 6 months from now, or on old terms, and a high and a custom, he has the right to take from his carcass, and all the different legal terms. Good. Beautiful. Okay. Okay. Then we're going to sign. Who's going to sign? As your bookbinder, and you're not supposed to sign. Now, here's the problem. The part at the bottom where they're going to sign is already. Nirmachak, it's already read. They had a piece of paper that had an erasure on one edge. So they wrote the whole star on clean paper, on clean parchment, and then at the very bottom, where they're going to sign in the erasure. But the top part is good, right? You don't care about the things you care about the top part. You can't play games with the top part because that's all clean. So the Gemara says, how about that? Let's take a look together. The Gemara blah, blah, blah. Let's pick up from a couple lines into Kuf Samach Dalal. It's an amazing thing. It's 7 lines down. Meitzei, who on the yar, who, it, the star itself, the body of the star is going to be on clean, fresh paper, but the edim are the piece of paper, the part of paper at the bottom where they're signing, those couple of lines are erased over. They're signing on macha. Kosher, is good? Great, you're wrong. The only part you would want to forge, you're not going to want to erase paper. You want to erase. If you're a trickster, you're going to want to erase the top part. You're going to change 10,000 to 100,000. Very, creative accounting. If the star itself is on good paper, the price is a good kosher. So that's great. Because 1 second. The nechus, we should have the final concern. Dilma mafik leh, the chas of my device. Maybe you're going to erase it and write whatever you want. Erase the whole thing. The guard says, you can't use this, because what you're going to do is you're going to erase the whole top part also, and then rewrite everything. Well, what are you going to see? An evenly erased star. So how could you ever
allow a shtar where the body is fresh paper, but the signatures are nimchak, it's terrible. If you don't allow that, you're giving this flaw, you're giving this con man the opportunity to erase the whole top and write it fresh. And we're going to accept that. See, if you're going to accept something which is totally nimchak, one, then you cannot accept the shtar, which is who on yar, where the top is fresh, and the bottom was nimchak. How can you allow a shtar with the top is fresh and the bottom is nimchak? Does the Rosh, you know what it is? The Kaspi Haki, a little letter dollar. The Rosh says, you're right. The only way, when the Brisa says that you can accept the shtar where who on yar, the top is fresh, only though the Aden are signed on a rich territory, isn't that dangerous? No. It's only in a way where it's not dangerous. What do? You put a disclaimer. You put a kiyum. Because the ruler gallery, the Kaspi Haki. The only time I can allow Aden Mahamaka is when they write the following disclaimer. Anachna Sahadi, we Aden Khatama Makaka Ishtar Khatavya. We are signing on the Khat, but the star demon of fresh paper. Okay, good. So then obviously if you're going to try to raise the top two, we're going to see, hey, this is not for real. Okay. The guard says, okay, that makes sense. So far, so good. You have a star, below on the yard, the bottom of the chak. So make sure that the agent has to include a little line there, a little footnote about how the star is supposed to look. It's like when you have a check. Sometimes the check will say, only accept this. Document contains various security features. Only accept this check if it has a watermark. Only accept this check. And you take out $20 bill. Everyone knows. You take out $20 bill. And they have all the security features. Hold up the light. You see some pretty pictures. If you look around the edge, you see the edge of the stake. You see how it looks. And the higher the denomination of the dollar bill, the more security features are. I think in the 50, you actually see the picture of the president and the watermark. If the guy didn't try to forge it, it's not going to look right. So that's even good. We have the agent sign in their signature itself, at the signature, they say, by the way, only accept this document if it specifies description. We are signed on the half, the Arizona should be clean. If Arizona is not clean, we know there's a forge. Good? Good. What's the one problem going on? Well, one second, where are you writing? Nice. But the same way the guy's gonna defraud you and erase the, for that part, he'll erase that too, he'll cut it off. So where exactly are the agents gonna write this disclaimer and the disclaimer will disappear? So you're gonna come to the conclusion where they write the disclaimer in between signature one and signature two. At the letter A. The Kaspi bin Sahaza who is Sahaza. If they're writing that disclaimer between the two agents, you have the whole star. You have this whole star, they write the Sheni B'Shabbos, and so on and so forth, and the whole thing about the loan and the Achayas, and now all the different clauses, repayment, and who's the guarantor, all the different clauses in a typical context. And then here's the race part, so you write the Luvain and Ben Yaakov, and then you write your little disclaimer. Right, we'll just say, right, then you have the second signature. No, Shimbig is okay. So, good. In between, you can't tamper in between two agents. You lose the whole thing you want to keep is your two agents. That's a state zone. So far, so good. So, the Gemara comes up to this conclusion. You have the star with the witnesses in the middle. So the Rashi says, hey, one second. You have the witnesses, and in between the witnesses is the kiyum. So we understand how the Gemara got to this conclusion. The only way it's going to work is with that. But then the Rashi says something funny. What is the Rashi that's funny with that? I understand why anyone's looking for a warlock. I understand why you couldn't do it any other way. I understand why if you put this kiyum in any other spot, the guy can cut it off, he can erase it. The only safe place is in between the agents. But says the Raj, but in between the agent, you have a different problem. If it's
in between the Adim, it's below the first Adim, and it's above the second Adim. So how many Adim are signing on to that certification? I have one aid, and then I have the certification, the disclaimer, and then I have the second aid. But if I have a star with an aid on top of it, does that help? I have a star with an aid on top of it, does that help? No, that's not. The only star was a W. Right? So I have one aid, and then I have my disclaimer, my kiyum, and then my second aid. The first aid didn't sign it. Only one guy, it's a good spot to put it, but only one guy is signing on it. Right. So the Raja says, huh? You have one aid on the kiyum. And he says, that's right. You have one aid on the kiyum. You know what? Doesn't matter. Apparently it's not. Apparently, he says, even one aid, that's the Raja writes to the tshuva, is a celebrated tshuva, Siman Sadeh Aleph. Even one aid is not really assumed to be lying. Here's a nafka mina number four. I have two witnesses signed on the document, but only one of them is the one who's giving the certification that these two witnesses are legit. So Ellie and I sign the star, but I sign, and then we write the kiyum, that these are legitimate signatures on fresh paper, and then Ellie signs. So I didn't sign the certification. We're both signing on the star, but only Ellie signed on the certification. Only Ellie is saying that both of us are signing on the star. Right? Only Ellie's one who's starting to read the things that both of them really be in the star and not on some other star that got played around with. God says, the Islam is like our case here. I have two aids on the get, but the Israel is telling us the truth to you. God says, one aid really believe. One aid, we do believe one aid. It is the rule, yet there are two aids to be made. Yet there are two aids on the star. But on my side, I have two aids on the star. I just have to make sure that they really find the star and there was some fraud.
Yeah.
He said it's so to drush, exactly. Which might lead you to wonder why does the Raza himself, an art figure, give a different answer to the question. And the answer to that is that if you think about Tosa Rush and the Rajvan, our figure are asking two different questions. At least said question number three and question number two, if you think about it, the Tosa Rosh is answering question number three. The Rajba, he's clearly understanding that Tosa Kash is question number two. How would he answer question number three? He has to call it Tosa Rosh. But he doesn't see that as the problem Tosa is dealing with. Yeah. Yeah. Come. We spoke about Parvati outside, and now we should go more. So if you go to Zungi Kleya, it wasn't from your comfort zone. The Rajva wrote thousands of children. The Rajva was an exception. The Rajva was the great, he got all done thing, and he was answering Shaila Smolotler. So they have several, if you take a look, go down to the Medrash, they have several volumes of Tshuva Tarashba. They have Chel Galas, Chel Beis, Chel Gimel, Chel Galas, Chel Kain, Chel Zvav, Chel Zayin, and then, instead of calling it Chel Tet, it's called the Tshuva HaMiyuchasos LaHaRambam. Miyuchas means they were attributed to the Ramban. So it used to be thought that these were Ramban, then people realized, maybe it's not the Ramban really, it's the Rashba. But that, what we call them, oh, that's the collection that we used to think were Ramban. But it's really the Rashba thinking.
Good.
Yeah. I guess that's the Ramban.
How did they figure that out?
Usually, the way they usually figure these things out is by looking at cross. Bernstein either it's quoted, someone else will say, oh, we know the Rashba said X. Or the Rashba himself will say, as I wrote in Tshuva. Or you have someone say, the Ramban says something other than X. Is that you know the Rashba, you know something Ramban. Right, cross checking.
How do you get confused?
I don't know. Maybe because Rashba is a Talmud of the Ramban. So they came from the same part of the world, but roughly, obviously Rashba is staying in the Talmud period.
Maybe
the last of the entry is what it should be. Could be. If you got a whole selection, then you start to wonder.
Yeah, it could be.
Also, if you lose the first page, the Arad Svarim looks very pretty. You look at take a look at the Gemara, Dr. Nalaf, Omanaf, and Gittin. So it says in everything, it says it's inside of Gittin. Sure, how many is Gittin, says Gittin. Again, it says every page is Gittin. Right? The top of every page is Gittin. That's very nice. But if you have a handwritten Sadiad, that is not done with the printy name. So in sometimes if you lose the first page, you have no idea what you're looking at. Often, follow the work with CPI, you go to the library, there's like paper, there is your logos because you're missing your telephone. This is the first page. If you miss the first page, you can guess who's losing the page. Sometimes you work hard, you'll figure out, oh, because it's quoted here, it's quoted there, he says who his Rebbe is, he says, my Rebbe is Rashba. Okay. Well, we know it's Thomas Rashba. Right, we know who he is. And something called Kedusha Tamid HaRashba on Baba Kama. Yeah. One of the important Rishonim on Baba Kama is Kedusha Tamid HaRashba. We don't know who it is. But we know he refers to the Rashba as his Rebbe. So it's either a Ritva or it's, you know, one of five people. Or whatever, one of 100 people. One of 5 people we know or 95 people we don't know. It's some Tamid or another on the Rashba. So here we have the Tshuva of the Yuchas Ramban, three of the Rashba. So he developed yet another case. But let's see what he says about our Gemara. Okay. Or the Gemara in Bava. The very top of the last column of the Rashi. Akshina Bereisha get Pasha. There he is. Here's where he takes up the Gemara Bava. This is the last question, beginning of Get Pasha, the last time Bava. Who are in your Eidim al Machat? They're starting a paper, the Eidim are all out, the ratio. They're going to choose the Rashi. God of the Lord. Puan Yarbaidos, the top line, the last column. Puan Yarbaidos, the Machak, I have the signatures on fresh paper, the star of fresh paper signatures on their erasure caution. I'm on. Maybe you'll erase the top two. The cost is my debut. You write whatever you want. Rather, eat the eating Nimchad. Kalamachad. It's all erased once. Lu Kimna. As he says, the Gemara of the conclusion is, the interpretation is, Sivi ben Sahadu and Sahadu, between the two agents, they write, Anachla Sahadi and Sahadu and Makal Koshtar Amya. We agents signed on the ration, but the Shah is in the paper. Alma, Ein Chosh, what do you see? Ein Chosh, the Loma, the Masha Kosh, the Hachar Chassim, the Rishon, Anachla Sahadi, the Kosh, the Kenoa Akon. We're not concerned that, you know, maybe the first guy signed, and then after the second guy came along and wrote this whole disclaimer and sign. The first guy has nothing to do with it. We're not concerned with that. Oh. We're not concerned with the Shaka. We're not concerned that the second guy is from the past. One will assume if he's writing a Belash and Shneham, then they must have both agreed. We got Shneham Nifta. And how do you know? How do you know the Ein Choshish and Echa Vashaka? Ein Echa Kavashvua. Eidechad makes you swear. If you can't swear against him, he'll make you pay. So I do believe in someone. In
a case where Eidechad will shut the out, then it's just
not. And then he points out, that in response to what Bichon said, that the Gemara entertains the other case also, where they have the top is erased and the bottom is clean, and in between the two Adim, they write, you should know that the top was erased once, the bottom is clean. The Gemara contains the verbs, not just for technical reasons. The Gemara contains our possibilities, and we have that statement, which we need to be made by both. Right? You tell me, don't worry, the top is for real.
What about the second
time? Take off. But
But that's what the Rashi goes on to say here also. The Rashi in the Tshuva, he needs to say, but you see, I'm really relying on it.
Okay.
Now we have four Nafshimiyas. We have the three Nafshimiyas from before, and the four. Three Nafshimiyas from before, and that's why Yisrael came after the Kutsi, because you still have your two bodies, even though you have only the Manas of one. That's why the Imre Bina has suggested that I might not be able to, according to Ram Ali, I can't swear to something that Eretz situation, but maybe still just a Hanukkah. That explains well why you say Moshe V'Aaron, they're puzzling. This is because if you don't say all of Kuwaitin is a big answer, that makes a lot of sense. There's one that there's still proven because they have a rule. And finally, over here, let's encapsulate what's the Rav, what's the Jabrash, what's the Rav, what's the Jabrash? Rav is telling us that I'm going to believe the key of the certification of one person alone. I, this is 100% to one person. He claims they both said it. It's written Balaam and Rav, it's in between the two Hazen. How does they claim it there as both? Because I'm not so sad, we have the witness, right? So, but I don't know for sure. I only have one person certifying that for both. Good enough. That's good enough. The Rashi uses this to tell another case. If you want, I want to, it's not clear on the slide. Not that it was the top of the race, bottom of the race, but they wrote a stuff. They wrote a stuff that said the Yaakov T. Brown is borrowing $10,000 from the Yosef. Somebody successful online mention. He's writing $10,000, he's trying to incorporate the bank, and that way it'll be eligible for bail,
It's a question of habit.
Use your mind, think clearly, and stick with it. Don't just say, oh, it sounds funny. What really makes sense? Now, Lysa, the Meiri is one to whom he wrote this child. He said, you're so smart, you figure that. And Meiri writes in Meiri, in his position on the chart, he says, the Rasha says this, and I think he's wrong. The Rasha, he said, I did think it through, and I agree with everyone else. Okay. But the Rasha, the Rasha does say, as the point out, it's very surprising. You would have said, what is supposed to be? What's the far? Sorry, and it's look. In between the two signatures, you have this here. So the second guy is signing. So what's he signing? The next guy, I say that we erased it. He's signing, we say it belongs to the Rabbin. And the second guy said that. We don't think it's him to write this book. I hold, like the Tosfos Rash, I hold against the Sefer Chinuch, that one guy is not kosher l'shaker. So good. The one guy is honest guy, one guy is not kosher l'shaker. So I believe the second witness about this deal. So it's all good.
Where did you believe this?
Oh, good. So that's just one second. Even if you believe one guy, Bill Meister is the rule, right. Against the Sefer HaChinuch, there is a rule that you need to have two agents. Shalom says, there is a rule to have two agents. You wouldn't say that if I have a shtar, this one aid, that's one two. So why is this working? So that's where Rukhana comes in. Rukhana says, well, if I have just one aid, the Torah said one aid is no good. Even if one aid is ought to be believed, there's a rule that says one aid is no good. So if they have one aid, no good. That's the rule. But what's going on here? You see, here, if you believe the one aid, according to what he's saying, there really are three.
Okay, so I can think of
Tikkun Shmuel,
there's two other Eidim with me also, this doesn't help you.
Very good. I said, what is going to come and say, I heard two Eidim say something.
That's
Edim Beza. You can say that I heard two
Edim
say something,
mm-hmm.
But if we don't believe that's true, it doesn't
make sense. Whereas here, I have a star. And there are two people signed on the bottom. And the star says that, who we decided before, that Yosef went $10,000 to, right? That's what says the star. And there are two people signed on the bottom. So the Haggadah that you can finish, and two guys say, and Joseph went down for $10,000. The only problem is, we're not sure if that was they really wrote, or if that is you. Is that really the Haggadah, or after all, there's an erasure there. And then, you always gotta wonder if by the numbers, the paper is a different color than the rest of the paper. So we're not sure, is this really the accurate Haggadah, or not the accurate Haggadah? So that's why, it's only in that case, I have a Haggadah of two agents. The one agent comes to tell me this is an accurate representation of the Haggadah. Like the get. I have two agents, in our case, I have two agents. He's just telling me that these are two valid witnesses on that thing. Or here, I have either the case of the Gemara, the case of the Rashba, I have a star, and I have two agents on the bottom. I just have to know that the two agents, that this is really accurate. But when all said and done, if I believe that one guy, so then I really have in front of me a Haggadah of two witnesses. Certifying that this is in fact truly as it seems on God's children.
Here it says
it's Right, so what you're saying is one aid is more kosher l'shaker than two aids. You're saying one aid is willing to lie. So the guy, when you say I'm not the Sahadi, you're saying that both aids are agreeing to this. If the other aid isn't there and you're willing to sign that, you're lying. So you're saying, assume that the same guy would lie or not. That's exactly the question. I just said, you don't assume the same guy would lie.
I think it's the other way. Assume there would be lies, but we haven't assumed that.
But he says they have three shitas. There's a Rambam, and he says Vechenech and Hazor. That's definitely a possibility. And with that, let's dive into it. I'll show you a second.